Cardiff Garcia.
Stacey Vanek Smith.
Do you hear this?
Yeah, I know. It's the holiday music for the holiday season,
yes,
which
it
means
is.
It's time to ask for money. It's the giving season. It's the giving season is what I meant.
We are asking you to donate to your local NPR member station because they bring so much wonderful programming to you.
That's right. And by going to donate.npr.org/indicator, make sure you include the /indicator.
Yeah, because then they'll know we sent you.
That's right.
And we will deliver that love right back to you.
So please make sure to donate before the end of the year.
And thanks again.
NPR.
Hey, everyone. It is Stacey and Cardiff, and this is The Indicator from Planet Money. So if you listen to the show a lot, you know, oftentimes when we report on things that are not great.
The bad stuff.
To the economy. The bad stuff. You know, in journalism, there's this saying, if it bleeds, it leads. And it's kind of true, right? I mean, even in economics where we're a little more grounded.
There's less blood.
Right. I mean, it's like big news if like the stock market drops a ton or the tariffs go up or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Unemployment goes up, things like that. And, you know, there was a lot of that kind of news this year. There was a slowdown in job creation. There was some disappointing economic growth. There were the trade wars. And we have covered all that this year.
That's right. That's kind of our job. Because even though the U.S. economy has actually been pretty good the last few years, we don't want to get complacent. And we don't want our listeners to get caught off guard by a looming danger.
Brace yourselves.
You know, we failed to notice. So, yeah, sometimes we have to be like Debbie Downers.
But, you know, a lot of people write in and ask us about good news, like give us some good news, right? And I feel like around this season, this time, like good news is a good thing. We want some reasons to be optimistic, to be hopeful. And you know what? There are plenty of those.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're ending the year now. Actually, we're ending the decade soon. So we figured it would not hurt to just do one episode outlining the reasons why the U.S. economy next year could end up being pretty, pretty good.
Pretty, pretty good.
And then after that, yeah, we will absolutely get back to the bad stuff.
Back to the hellscape of Mordor that is economics reporting.
Yes.
Yes, of course. So today on the show, it is all rainbows. It is all baskets full of kittens. It is optimism 2020.
The case for hope in 2020 with sound effects. So basically what rainbows look like, but for your ears.
Ear rainbows.
What ice cream tastes like.
Ear ice cream.
Yeah. Ew.
That does sound like a medical condition.
This message comes from NPR sponsor State Farm. Why do you need State Farm renter's insurance? Because it helps protect the stuff landlords don't, like your furniture that gets drenched by a broken pipe. State Farm Renters Insurance. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com. Support also comes from Capital One, where you can open a savings account in about 5 minutes and earn five times the national average. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Okay, the case for hope in 2020 starts with the labor market. And with a kitten meowing, because who doesn't like a kitten meowing?
Oh, I don't want to meet that person. Everybody loves kittens.
First up, jobs. Thanks, kitty. The U.S. economy this year has been creating jobs at a decent pace, about 167,000 jobs a month. And the fact that this is fewer jobs created than last year might actually just be because so many people are already employed. And so companies just have a harder time finding the people they want.
But even more importantly, the benefits of a healthy labor market are going to lower income and middle income workers, not just people who already make a lot of money. For example, look at wage growth for workers in the lowest paying industries. These are people who work in retail and restaurants, for example. Their wages have been growing at about 4.5% a year. That is the fastest these wages have been growing since before the Great Recession, more than a decade ago. And these numbers, by the way, were sent to us by Nick Bunker, an economist at Indeed. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, and actually, that brings us to the second reason for hope in 2020, people spending money. So long as the labor market remains healthy and people are making more money at their jobs, that means that people will have more money to spend. And since more than two-thirds of the U.S. economy is driven by people spending money, that should keep the economic expansion going.
And this is also showing up in the numbers. After you adjust for inflation, people are now spending about 2.3% more money this year than they did last year. And if that continues, that should be enough to keep the economy growing at a healthy pace.
But that is a big open question, that if it continues, okay? Will the healthy labor market continue? And will people continue to have money to spend? Well, that leads us to the third reason for optimism in 2020. It's the Federal Reserve, the Fed.
I think that's the first time in history that
the HARP has introduced the Fed?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's appropriate in this case.
It is.
Because the Fed changed its approach to managing the economy this year in a big way, a way that should help the economy keep growing next year.
And here is how. So last year, the Fed was raising interest rates to slow down the economy. It was worried that the economy would overheat, meaning that the prices of goods and services that we all buy would start going up too fast.
But this year, the Fed has acknowledged that it probably went too far last year, and it has totally changed its course. This year, the Fed has been lowering interest rates to give the economy a boost. And the chair of the Fed, Jerome Powell, he has suggested that the Fed doesn't really plan to go back to raising rates for at least a while. So that boost will not be taken away anytime soon.
This is especially the case because inflation is so low right now. So the Federal Reserve does not have to worry about the economy overheating, about prices going up. And Chair Jerome Powell also said that the Fed has been hearing a lot of stories about how the strong labor market has been benefiting the most vulnerable people in society, people who used to have to struggle to keep a job. And obviously, the Fed would love to keep that going.
And that brings us to reason for hope number four. And hey, can we get some enthusiasm going here, people? The Fed's decision to help the economy this year has also helped turn around one of the economy's struggling sectors, the housing sector. See, the housing market had been in a slump for about a year and a half. But with the Fed signaling that interest rates would stay low into the future, mortgage rates for houses have also come down. Because after all, mortgage rates are a type of interest rate. And low mortgage rates have made it more attractive for people to buy houses, and housing developers have noticed this. So they've started to build new houses. Right now, permits to build new houses and construction on new houses are starting to rise quickly.
And this is really good news because the housing market has traditionally been a leading indicator for the rest of the economy. When the housing market is healthy, it tends to mean the rest of the economy will follow. And finally, our fifth and final reason for hope. Is that the slowdown in the global economy that has been happening might not be as bad as economists have been expecting.
Yeah, the global economy matters, by the way, to the U.S. because, of course, a lot of American companies sell goods and services to people abroad. So if economies abroad are doing well, then those people can buy more American-made stuff. So when the global economy struggles, American companies and American workers will suffer some of the consequences.
Throughout most of this year, economists and analysts have been disappointed by how weak the global economy has been. And they've expected that weakness to last into next year. But now there are some signs that maybe their pessimism went a little too far. For just one example, the overall amount that countries trade with each other, that's called global trade volume, that has started growing again after it had been falling all year.
So that's it. Five reasons for hope in 2020. And listen, people. Necessary caveats coming here.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, we need to.
How
we
you
need
made
to.
Through a whole show?
Don't you want people to know that we're not naive? That we know that
okay.
There's a lot of caveats to these points. Like,
no.
You know, listen, job creation, it is good, but it did slow down this year.
True.
The early signs of a turnaround in the housing market or the recovery in the global economy might not last.
Also true.
Right? And the fact that the Fed had to boost the economy this year was partly the result of worrying trends like the trade wars. We know all this, and you, our listeners, you should know all that too. But we figured for just one episode, it would not kill us to focus on the positive stuff, right?
It's true.
The stuff that doesn't make the headlines quite as often.
Right, right. Like, you never see a headline like, things are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Just like disaster, world on fire.
It would be great
panic.
If at the top of the FT tomorrow, it just said, another pretty good day in the global economy. Like, that was just the headline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, man and woman go to job, work well with colleagues, come home, watch Netflix, go to bed while being paid equally. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sanzgiri, fact-checked by Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.